eno pivo bi.
Res je, brez skrbi se ga v miru napite. Evropa namreč skrbi ne le, da vaš pšenični zvarek ustreza standardom najvišje kvalitete, tudi vsebnost E150C ali po domače karamelnega barvila, ki mu daje ustrezno barvo, po zaslugi uredbe številka 1333/2008 nikoli ne bo prevelika.
Evropa gre deep. Delovanje Evropskega parlamenta. Oddajo sofinancira Evropski parlament.
Proti toku.
Dobar večer, v oddaji Zeitgeist. Gre za drugo oddajo v verjetno treh o energetski politiki Evropske unije. Z vami sva Jošt in Anton. V prvi oddaji smo predstavili to idejo oziroma politiko energetske unije, da bi poenotili in ustanovili enotni evropski trg, kar je zaenkrat nekako boljše v načrtih, ni se pa še dokončno uresničilo. Evropska odvisnost od ruskega plina se v bistvu zmanjšuje nekoliko z leti v primerjavi s preteklimi desetletji. Od vsega porabljenega plina ga tretjino načrpa Evropska unija sama. To naredijo večinoma Velika Britanija in pa Nizozemska. Tretjino plina uvozimo iz Rusije. Četrtino naših potreb zadosti Norveška, potem pa manjši del tega pa še države, kot so Alžirija, Katar, Trinidad in Tobago, Libija in tako dalje.
Tukaj se bomo lotili predvsem projekta Severni tok. Dotaknem samo tudi problemov, ki jih za Evropo predstavlja diverzifikacija dobave plina, ampak naj mogoče začnemo s samim problemom energetske unije. Ta je bila zastavljena kot nekaj enotna politika Evropske unije, ampak kar se je skazalo je, da ravno na primeru Severnega toka, da interesi posameznih držav skupno evropsko politiko nekako kazijo. Zdaj, kar je najbolj zanimivo, je največ ruskega plina uvozijo ravno centralne države, Nemčija, Francija, Velika Britanija, vendar pa same niso od njega odvisne. Imajo na voljo tudi, na primer, plin iz Norveške. Vzhodne države, države bivšega sovjetskega bloka, pa so te, ki so v resnici od ruskega plina najbolj odvisne in za katere je ravno ruski plin dražji kot ta isti plin v Nemčiji ali Veliki Britaniji.
Zdaj, da pojasnimo, kaj je sploh Severni tok. Severni tok je plinovod, ki poteka iz ruskega Viborga pri blizu rusko-finske meje in potem gre po Baltskem morju vse do nemškega kraja Greifswald. Tako, glavni namen tega plinovoda je strani Gazproma, ki je rusko državno podjetje, ki izvaža plin, da se izognejo tranzitu skozi vzhodno Evropo oziroma tudi nekako bolj specifično se tukaj cilja, da se izognejo tranzitu skozi Ukrajino in imajo pač direktno pot iz Rusije v gospodarsko središče in srce Evropske unije oziroma Evrope.
Namen gradnje Severnega toka je ravno to, da se izogne Ukrajini kot tisti državi, kjer je, ki nima urejenih odnosov z Rusijo. Kar po eni strani je bil namen Gazproma že daljši čas, po drugi strani pa ne, ravno izognitev dobave energentov prek Ukrajine godi Nemčiji kot gospodarsko najaktivnejši državi. Več o samih razlogih za gradnjo Severnega toka pa pojasni Sibren de Jong iz Haškega centra za strateške študije.
The goal of this particular pipeline, as well as the Turkish Stream pipeline, I mean, it's not like Gazprom is hiding what it wants to do. They've indicated quite clearly that after 2019, when the existing transit agreement with Ukraine would end, that it seeks alternative routes, which primarily, of course, have to do with, in their view, the troublesome relation that Ukraine and Russia hold in the area of natural gas transit. Obviously, the reality is a little bit more mixed. I mean, there have been quite a number of cases where Gazprom or the Russian state, which, you know, in and of itself usually boils down to the same thing, have actually reduced the amount of gas that which is being shipped through Ukraine for political reasons. So you can't clearly pinpoint or point the finger at one or the other saying, okay, in this particular case, Ukraine is to blame for what has happened. That in and of itself is incorrect. So the question here is, to what extent does Europe facilitate a route diversification for Russian gas coming into Europe? Now, last time I checked, that certainly isn't the thing that we agree to on the international level, where we actually ascribe to a diversification strategy that involves the diversification of sources and not necessarily transit routes, certainly not only transit routes. So you have to bear in mind that if they close down the route through Ukraine, all of the transit routes, and thereby assuming that the Turkish Stream pipeline will also be constructed, then all those routes will be firmly controlled by Russian state-owned company Gazprom. Now, that certainly can't be something that you want when you favor competition.
Kdo pa ima največ pridobiti severnim tokom v Evropi, nadaljuje Sibern de Jong.
Okay, well, I mean, the countries that stand most to gain from this project are Germany and the Czech Republic. In particular, because the role in the gas distribution, the whole distribution network for both countries is going to significantly increase, which obviously means their relative importance in European gas trade will strengthen. For Germany, I mean, Germany obviously has very strong business ties to Russia, so there are a number of companies involved which would potentially make some money out of this particular pipeline, and also the relative importance of the country as a transit country would increase, obviously, if the role of Ukraine would subsequently diminish by the same magnitude.
Severni tok tako v bistvu ni v skladu s cilji energetske unije, o tem lahko več poslušate v naši prvi oddaji izpred 14 dni. En od glavnih ciljev naj bi bil ravno zmanjšati odvisnost Evrope od ruskega plina. Več o tem pove Georg Cachman iz think tanka Bruegel.
Even Slovenia will be affected by Nord Stream 2, in my opinion. If you draw a line between the Baltic Sea and Genoa, then you have essentially a very limited amount of gas that you can transport from west to east and from east to west, which means that on the one side, most of the countries there will be highly dependent on Russian gas, and Nord Stream will now enable it to Gazprom to essentially send more gas to Western Europe and less gas to Eastern Europe if they like to do so, which as a consequence might amplify the issue of price discrimination between the two regions. So what I see as one scenario is that we will see very low gas prices in the Netherlands and West Germany, where Gazprom essentially tries to outcompete Norwegian and Dutch gas, as well as LNG, liquefied natural gas. And at the same time, we see relatively high prices in Italy, in Slovenia, in southeastern Europe, and in central eastern Europe, where Gazprom doesn't fear any competition because there's so limited capacity to bring gas from the west to the east.
Torej, negativne posledice za države kot so Slovenija, oziroma tiste še bolj izpostavljene izolacije, oziroma ki so še bolj odvisne od same dobave ruskega plina, se zdi, da so jasne, ampak Georg Zachmann tukaj poudari, da tudi Nemčija bo uživala le kratkoročne učinke, pozitivne ekonomske učinke, dolgoročno pa bi se Nemčiji po njegovem mnenju bolj splačalo se boriti za idejo oziroma politiko energetske unije oziroma enotnega trga v Evropi. Posledice za Nemčijo se morda ne zdijo na prvi pogled očitne, jih pa zato bolj detaljno predstavi Zachmann.
Nord Stream 2, so the second branch of the pipeline between Russia and Germany that is supposed to be completed in 2019, will on face value have a lot of benefits for Germany. It might mean that Germany gets direct access to Russian gas, that prices in Germany might be lower than in neighboring countries, that more of the gas trading might happen in Germany, so there's money to be made in terms of taxation and for companies in Germany, and that the transmission that the gas is further transported through the German networks to neighboring countries, which means revenues for the German transmission system operator. But I think those are very short-term economic gains, and it does not really address the issue of the longer term political and really economic in a broader sense aspects. The problem that I see is essentially that this will mean that countries in Central and Eastern Europe will become more dependent on Gazprom. Gazprom can, with Nord Stream 2, essentially decide whether it sends its gas to the northwest European market and completely cut out the Central East European markets, including Slovenia and Italy. And that would mean that Germany is essentially part of a deal that brings a lot of problems for those markets, which in turn means that those countries don't trust German energy policy anymore, because Germany is highly dependent on its neighboring countries in terms of energy policy. As you know, Germany is interested in a strong decarbonization policy with energy efficiency and renewables measures. But this requires to be interconnected with the neighbors, and if Poland feels left alone with Gazprom, then they probably will go back to coal and not to gas or renewables. They will probably not like to be helping Germany with its electricity network issues, the big loop flows of electricity that flow from wind turbines in the Baltic Sea and in the North Sea through Poland and then back into Bavaria. Yeah, Poland, Czech Republic, and then back into Bavaria. All those things will be seen much more critically. And also, if you think about repairing the European emission trading system, another key policy on the European level that will have negative repercussions. So what I'm saying is essentially that Germany in the short term benefits economically, and but the political costs are very high, and it does not help the German energy policy, because the German energy policy requires relatively limited amounts of gas in the coming decades, But it requires a strong collaboration in terms of renewables and decarbonization with its neighboring countries. So Germany would essentially, for its short-term benefit, kill the energy union. La, 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 la.
Очі чорні, очі жгучі, очі страсні і прекрасні, як люблю я вас, як боюсь я вас, знать увидя вас, і я не добрий час. Još ih vidim tu, crna oka dva, spajam noć i dan, davno nemam sna, samo oči te, crne oči te, nemirno se znam, ale žalim ja. Очі жгучі, очі страсні, і прекрасні, як люблю я вас, як боюсь вас, знать увидя вас, я не в добрий час. Очі чорні, очі жгучі, страсні, і прекрасні, як люблю я вас, як боюсь я вас, знать увидя вас, я не в добрий час. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла, ла-ла-ла.
Poslušate Zeitgeist, oddaju aktualno politične redakcije na radiju Student 89,3 MHz. Tokrat u okviru oddaje o energetski politiki EU-a se posvećamo bolj specifično plinovodom, dobavi plina za vzhodno in zahodno Evropo.
Proti monopolu, ki ga predstavlja gradnja Severnega toka, z njim bi Gazprom z njegovo možno širitvijo dvignil delež plina, ki ga uvaža v Evropo iz sedanje tretjine na skoraj polovico, je najbolj ostro nastopila Poljska. Iz Severnega toka plin potuje v plinovod Opal, od tot naprej pa v ostale države vzhodne Evrope. Zdaj, kar se je zgodilo mogoče v zadnjem času, je to, da je Evropska komisija, ki je sprva preprečila Gazpromu, omejila vsebino njegovega plina v tem plinovonu Opal na zgolj polovico, je ta limit dvignila na odstotek 80%. Kar pa je sledila, je bila pritožba poljskega državnega podjetja in kasnejša odločitev sodišča Evropske unije, da izvršni ukaz, izvršno odločitev Evropske komisije ukine, začasno suspendira. Več o interesih Poljske pri Severnem toku pojasni De Jong.
Because the decision that the Commission took means obviously that the onshore section of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, essentially it's not literally that, it's the pipeline that it connects to, the OPAL pipeline, would see an increase in the use by Gazprom. Now, Gazprom already has a very dominant position in that part of the European market, so by allowing this to happen, you would effectively enlarge the presence of Gazprom in that particular part of the European gas market, which would potentially undermine, if Gazprom, for example, were to use a predatory pricing strategy where it would dump natural gas onto the European market, it might be able to outprice liquefied natural gas or LNG out of the market. That's one thing. Poland obviously has an LNG terminal, so it might fear that. But it will also open the door, perhaps, for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which, when constructed, would also need to feed into an onshore section, where if the Commission thinks that there are no longer any competition reasons as to why we should limit the capacity of the OPAL pipeline, it means that any legal opposition you might have afterwards against the Nord Stream 2 pipeline on competition grounds would have a much harder time to actually win, simply because you've undermined that argument by saying that such competition grounds then effectively don't exist with respect to the OPAL pipeline. I don't see what really has changed in the last, let's say, year or so that could prompt the European Commission to say that there are no sort of credible competition concerns anymore, therefore the OPAL pipeline's capacity can be increased.
Cahman predstavi tudi drugo stran, oziroma kako na vse skupaj gleda Gazprom. Gazprom ni neko podjetje, ki bi lahko preprosto zaprlo pipico Evropi zaradi kakšnih političnih razlogov, vendarle so preveč odvisni od trga EU. Sankcije, ki jih so usmerjene proti Rusiji, samega Gazproma niso zelo močno prizadele, ker so državna firma je mora na domačem trgu prodajati svoj plin po ceno, v zgovor o povezovanju Rusije in Kitajske s plinovodi, pa zaenkrat ostaja več ali manj samo na papirju.
It's the big one market for Gazprom. So Gazprom can essentially export a little bit of gas into the neighboring markets in the former Soviet republics, but that's very limited prices that they are getting there. So there's always those disputes with Armenia and with Belarus about the gas prices, because they are getting essentially discount prices. So the real money that Gazprom makes is not on the Russian market, but on the West European market. There are very limited export capabilities through liquefied natural gas, which are not done by Gazprom, but one of its competitor companies, I think Novatek. And there is this bigger project about the pivot to Asia, where there have been this announcement, I think 2 years ago, about building a big pipeline project from Siberia to China. But we haven't heard much from this project, and there are good reasons why we haven't heard of that, because it's very expensive, very complicated, and dealing with the Chinese on energy security related matters doesn't seem to be so easy for Russia as well. So in a purely economic game, if it's only about economics, Russia would not be interested to cut gas supplies to the EU. They are highly dependent on the European market. But we know now in political terms that Russia sometimes tend to inflict economic costs on itself in order to destabilize others. In political terms, we need to be a bit careful on the situation so that we have available alternative supplies in case there is political trouble with Russia.
V novem svetu s Severnim tokom 2 Cahman vidi dve opcije za države srednje in vzhodne Evrope. Ali iskanje alternativnih verov plina ali pa izboljšanje samih plinovodov v Evropski uniji v smeri zahod-vzhod.
There are essentially two options. The first option is to look for alternative gas sources, and you might be aware of this project of building an LNG terminal in Krk in Croatia, or thinking about additional gas imports from North Africa, which is probably very difficult at the moment. And the other alternative is to improve the interconnection between West and Eastern Europe. But here, the problem is that it would mean that the pipelines inside Germany would need to be built in order to help countries in east of Germany. So there are big problems in terms of cost allocation. There are some rules, and you might be aware that in one of the largest European energy institutions, the Agency for the Coordination of European Regulators, is sitting in Ljubljana, and they are looking into the issue of how to make other countries pay for pipelines in other countries if the first country is helped by them. But that is very complicated on a European level. So Slovenia would have to essentially build pipelines inside Germany in order to improve the east-west connections, in order to make sure it can get better gas connected from Germany. So here I think one needs to think on a European level about better tools to make sure that gas can freely flow within the European Union.
Trenutni obseg plinovoda Severni tok pomeni okoli 55 milijard kubičnih metrov zemeljskega plina, ki se pretoči letno. Kar se pa zdaj dogaja je, da Gazprom načrtuje njegovo širitev, dodatne cevi, ki bi to količino podvojila na 110 milijard letno. Kar za Nemčijo predstavlja veliko ugodnost, ker bi s tem nadomestila, kot smo na začetku rekli, Ukrajino kot glavno tranzitno državo za dobavo ruskega zemeljskega plina v Evropo. Kakšne so možnosti za uresničitev te širitve projekta Severni tok 2, današnji Zeitgeist zaključi De Jong?
It very much depends. I mean, the legal issues surrounding construction of the pipeline haven't been fully resolved. I know that there's quite a few people say that, for example, the EU's rules and regulations with respect to the internal energy market are not applicable to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That in and of itself is a ludicrous legal statement. There will be able to find an ample number of legal experts who would firmly disagree with you, with these people on this particular point. So the jury is not out on this particular issue yet. Another thing is the financing model, which originally consisted of various other companies, international oil majors and gas companies that were involved in the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. They said that they are getting close to finding an alternative financing model for the pipeline. We'll have to see what that consists of. At this point, that remains uncertain. So there's a lot of big talk about the pipeline and that it will move forward, etc., etc. But there's quite a few very important details that this particular point have not been fully resolved.
Zeitgeist sva pripravila Anton in Jošt.
Eno pivo bi.
Res je, brez skrbi se ga v miru napite. Evropa namreč skrbi ne le, da vaš pšenični zvarek ustreza standardom najvišje kvalitete, tudi vsebnost E150C ali po domače karamelnega barvila, ki mu daje ustrezno barvo, po zaslugi uredbe številka 1333/2008 nikoli ne bo prevelika.
Evropa gre deep. Delovanje Evropskega parlamenta. Oddajo sofinancira Evropski parlament.